It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. Let's check that mail. We have some questions now for Mr. Know-It-All. Number one, should Ohio State fire football coach Ryan Day after losing again to Michigan on Saturday?
No!
Now, I've joked for years that Ryan Day, to me, looks like a modern-day Bluto. You remember Popeye, don't you?
Well, blow me down.
His arrogance as a coach makes most non-Buckeye fans want to root against Ohio State. And Ohio State's fans wouldn't care about Bluto's public relations issues as long as his team could beat arch-rival Michigan every other year. Their latest loss, their fourth in a row, came on Saturday in a home game in which Ohio State, then 10-1, was a 20-point home favorite against a very mediocre 6-5 Michigan team. Yes, Ohio State lost Saturday's game 13-10 and dropped to 10-2 on the year. And the Buckeyes will now sit at home this weekend to watch 11-1 Penn State take on 12-0 Oregon on Saturday in the Big Ten championship game. Michigan controlled the clock with their traditional plodding running game and kept the score low. Though Ohio State spent a reported $20 million of NIL cash on buying the best players to win a national championship this year, the team's coach and players failed to deliver a victory against Michigan again. Ohio State has won a lot of games with Ryan Day as their head coach. After taking over for Urban Meyer in 2019, Ryan Day's Buckeyes have posted a nifty 66-10 record. Despite winning 87% of his games that he's coached in Columbus, Ryan Day's Ohio State teams have lost four straight to Michigan. For those of us living in the South, it would be the equivalent of Alabama losing four straight games to their arch-rival Auburn. You get the idea. The fifth highest-paid college coach in the country, $10 million in 2024, Ryan Day at Ohio State would be owed more than $37 million if he were to be fired after this season. Buckeyes fans are ready to pass the hat around the state and get rid of Ryan Day. Anything less than getting Ohio State into this year's college football playoff national title game in January is going to seal his doom. Question number two for the Swami. Why did Fox Sports pay $37.5 million a year for Tom Brady, the broadcaster? In one of the smartest financial sports deals I've seen, Tom Brady's agent secured a 10-year, $375 million contract for the legendary quarterback to work as an analyst at Fox Sports. And Brady had never worked in the broadcast booth before signing this deal. As his rookie season behind the microphone for Tom Brady comes down the stretch this year, those high expectations have definitely not been met. Most of us fans expected TB12, Tom Brady, or Terry Bradshaw for that matter, to make some incredible observations on TV like Fox's former top analyst Greg Olson, or to give some predictions of upcoming plays like CBS analyst Tony Romo does. The former Dallas Cowboy quarterback Romo earns $18 million a year. Hey, that's not too bad. And Romo brings some good enthusiasm to the booth, yet he's been inconsistent in his game analysis from week to week for CBS. Meanwhile, former Carolina Panthers tight end Greg Olson was the number one analyst at Fox last year and was paid handsomely $10 million. But with Tom Brady taking his place as the top dog at Fox, the network reduced Olson's salary to only $3 million this year. Tom Brady was definitely paid the big bucks to be better than Tony Romo or Greg Olson. But he isn't. I believe that Tom Brady is going to be shipped back to the studio to replace one of the older Fox Sports legends like Terry Bradshaw, Jimmy Johnson, Michael Strahan, or Howie Long. Brady's smile and good looks is going to serve him better behind the studio desk instead of being a faceless and vastly overpaid analyst at the football games themselves. I'll estimate that Tom Brady will spend maybe one more season in the booth. Greg Olson, stand by. Your position is coming back your way. Soon. Question number three. How should the NCAA end this juvenile stunt of flag planting which we saw by college football road teams last weekend? In case you missed the games on Saturday last weekend, several of the road teams celebrated their wins on the home field of a rival school by attempting to plant their school's flag at midfield after the game. And of course, the home team players rallied to defend their home field and their team's honor. The punches started flying during these embarrassing stunts on Saturday. And it all started with the early game Saturday as visiting Michigan surprised 20-point home favorite Ohio State. The word quickly spread on social media about the post-game rumble in Columbus, Ohio. And of course, later games on Saturday at North Carolina and Florida State, among others, featured similar childish post-game stunts after the visiting team won the game on the home team's field. The Big Ten Conference stepped in on Sunday and fined both Michigan and Ohio State $100,000 for their nationally televised post-game rumble. I have a question. Will that money be used to repair the Ohio State football field? And if not, where does the money go to? To his credit, Florida Gators football coach Billy Napier immediately apologized to Florida State's coach Mike Norvell after his team's juvenile celebration on the Seminoles' home field on Saturday evening. He also promised to discipline and perhaps get rid of any Florida Gators players who were involved in this stunt. In the event the NCAA happens to be listening to us today, the answer is simple. The offending team should be required to forfeit their win. That's right, it sounds harsh, but that mandate would immediately stop these junior high school level stunts from even happening in the future. Question number four. Why are the NBA and the NHL even playing games during October, November, and December? The obvious answer is that they must generate enough revenue to offset the high cost of their players and team overhead. Incredibly, the home attendance at NBA and NHL games during this fall football season has actually been fairly strong. Most NBA teams are averaging close to a sellout for their home games this fall. And the National Hockey League has reported that 62% of that league's games have been sellouts compared to 57% a year ago. But the TV ratings for the NBA show a big slippage this season. ESPN has shown a 28% drop in their NBA viewership this fall. Most of the games failed to garner more than 1.5 million viewers. That's about 10% of your average NFL game. And TNT, which is in the final year of handling the NBA, is running slightly below their 2023 fall numbers as well. The National Hockey League's fall television ratings have struggled to break 500,000 home viewers per game for this season. We'll get a better handle on the trends in the television ratings, though, once the NFL regular season ends in early January. From a team revenue standpoint, this decline in television viewing for these two winter sports really doesn't matter. Their TV media partners are stuck with this, and they must pay their contractual fees that they signed up for. The NBA just locked in new media deals for another 10 years, and the National Hockey League is locked into their current contracts through the 2027 and 28 season. So if the local fans stop buying tickets to the games, that is when the NBA and the NHL franchises are going to start feeling some significant pain. And the final question, number five, is this year's NFL title chase already down to just 4 or 5 teams? You know, there are 32 teams in the NFL, and with a little bit more than 1 month to go in this season, the majority of teams' postseason chances are down to slim and none. Through last weekend's games, the AFC's Kansas City Chiefs at 11-1 and the Buffalo Bills at 10-2 look to be the top two teams in that conference. Now, Pittsburgh at 9-3 has surprised many of us terrible towel-waving fans, but the Steelers' offense remains inconsistent. And the Baltimore Ravens? They're 8-5 right now, but they do have time to get on a roll during the final weeks of this season. Meanwhile, the 8-4 Los Angeles Chargers, 8-5 Houston Texans, and 8-5 and surprising Denver Broncos do still have a slim chance at winning the AFC. That leaves the other 9 AFC teams, though, out of 16, looking at next year once again. Over in the NFC, it's even more straightforward. The Detroit Lions are 11-1. That's right, Detroit, which has never been to a Super Bowl, is 11-1 this year, with the Philadelphia Eagles and Minnesota Vikings right behind them at 10-2, and Green Bay's hanging around with a 9-3 record. The Washington Commanders? Yep, they're a surprising 8-5, and Seattle leads the NFC West at a meager 7-5 right now. The other 10 NFC teams are at or below 500, and don't look for any of them to be a significant factor by playoff time. As usual, the AFC and NFC teams holding the top two seeds are going to have a significant home field advantage during January's playoff games. I'm going to stick with my original preseason prediction that the Kansas City Chiefs will not win the Super Bowl for the third straight year. All good things must come to an end. And those are your answers from Mr. Know-It-All. I mean, Swamp Swami.